Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. The sermon text for today is the Old Testament lesson appointed for the last Sunday in the church year. I read to you from Ezekiel chapter 34, starting at the 11th verse on through to the 16th verse, and then continuing from the 20th verse through to the 24th. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. And they shall no longer be prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. Thus far the text, I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious God, we ask, Lord God, on this last Sunday of the church year, that you open our eyes to the coming of your Son. We know his righteousness will precede him, that his judgment will be with him. And Lord God, we know that we who are his children, his flock, will be gathered in. We pray that you open our hearts and minds to this word now, and that you bless us in the name of Jesus. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Okay, so this is the last Sunday of the church year, which, if you're familiar with how the church calendar runs, follows a natural progression from the anticipation of the coming of the Messiah through the life of Christ and the church on to the anticipation of Christ's coming again, this time in glory to judge the living and the dead on the last day. Now, that second coming is certainly worth talking about because all of creation, as it says in Romans 8:32, groans and suffers the pains of childbirth in anticipation of the moment it will be released from its captivity to sin. The moment we will be released from our captivity to sin. We groan with all creation because we know the depth of sin. We know that we were born in the valley of despair as descendants of Adam, who ate from that tree of knowledge of good and evil and suddenly realized that he was naked. Now, I've spoken about this nakedness before, this nakedness which reveals more than just the body. I will expose your sin, God says in Lamentations 4:22, because your lewdness was poured out through your harlot trees, I will expose your nakedness, Ezekiel 16:35, because you adored the things that were detestable in my sight. And because you cherished them more than you cherished me, I will shine a holy white light upon the entirety of your life and expose every one of your wrongdoings to you. Consider the impact of those last two words. Anxiety and depression are rampant in this world today. That in a world for the sake of freeing people from their feelings of guilt and oppression, they've been told already from their childhood on up, that they can have anything or be anything or even do anything that they want, from all sorts of forms of sexual immorality through to the murder of the unborn and the murder of now even the self by means of so-called medical practitioners. But here's the thing. Even if this world handed every freedom out to people, people would still end up struggling because of regardless of whatever temporal freedom we have as sinners that we extend to one another, we're still held accountable eternally by God. I feel free because I can do anything according to the law of this land. And yet the law of Moses, that is to say the very law of God, which has been indelibly written upon my heart, has exposed the very core of who I am, and it's left me groaning. That's the plight of the human condition. Now, maybe that's your plight as well right now for secret sins that you've committed. Or maybe it's your plight right now because Satan has hidden the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ from your eyes and has given you cause to fear. It doesn't have to be that way. Our God is a God of peace, and his intent is to save. So with this last day looming ahead of us and creeping up on us like a thief in the night, as Jesus said, we're not supposed to fear at all. We're not supposed to fear because the blood of our Savior absolves. God in his love doesn't stand by idly to watch us suffer. The moment sin entered into the world, as a matter of fact, he pronounced judgment not upon us who rightly would deserve to die, but upon his one and only Son, declaring that the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent, and that the serpent shall strike his heel. Even then, as that first sin was committed, God had already guaranteed that the last sin would be forgiven. Your Savior was stripped naked in your place, and every one of your sins hung on him. My sins, your sins, everyone's sins. He bore our shame. He groaned in our place. And then he died, taking upon himself the full punishment that we deserved. When you believe that, you're ready for everything that follows. The resurrection, the ascension, the coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead. You're the living. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. This, by means, is not a free ride to the end of time, but it is instead a freeing ride. There is still sin and consequences to still. There is still groaning in this world as Satan, who would love to see you fall away, puts temptation in your path and seeks to dissuade you from thinking about Christ's strength to focus upon your own frailties. But you who live in Christ, live under his shepherding guidance. When you stray, he seeks you out. When you fall prey to Satan's attack, your Lord rushes in your defense. When you're injured, he binds your wounds. Jesus constantly washes over you and knows especially where your heart is and how vulnerable it is. He clothes you with his royal robes, washed in white by the blood of his own nailed by his own blood and by his own nailed scarred hands. And he leads you to be judged righteously. What lies ahead is therefore a walk of assurance and of hope and of strength. It's a walk of freedom too. And through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses, Acts 13:39. What lies ahead is a walk in your salvation, for God has given you his Son's righteousness. And on that last day, it will be a walk of permanence too. There will be no more groaning, for then all the unrighteousness will be destroyed, and everything that we will have longed for, the peace, will be given to us eternally. Our key verse for this week is 2 Peter 3:13. In keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. This will come to us as promised, and we won't be left out, we who trust it to be, for the Lord God, who is over all things, will seek us out and bring his people together from wherever it is that we might be, and will receive his rest. If you're struggling to receive that word as your anchor, remember it's in keeping with God's promise. God will come and bring you to his kingdom. I'll do it finally. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, you rescue us. You help us to see the peace that is ahead. We ask that you continue to open our eyes to that path of peace. Open our eyes to see your Son's death and his resurrection, his ascension, to realize his watching hand is over us, especially to live according to the peace that you give us. Help us not to fear, but instead to walk steadfastly towards that last day. Help us to proclaim that coming to the rest of the world so that they might too receive the peace that we have. Through the workings of the law, we ask you to help people to realize their brokenness, but especially through the workings of the gospel, help them to realize their salvation. We ask that you bless us then as a church and move us forward to strengthen one another in hope. This we put before you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen. And amen.